Welcome to the audio edition of In Touch Online for November 2021, with an introduction from the Provincial Grand Master. I'm sure we can all recollect the times when, as children, we attended church on the Sunday closest to the 11th of November to remember and honour the dead of two world wars. For some of us, it would have been as members of a uniformed organisation, the Scouts, Cubs, Boys Brigade, Red Cross or St John's Ambulance, while for others it may have been in the uniform of one of the military cadet forces. I can vividly recall church parades where flags were lowered as a lone bugler played the haunting notes of the last post. This month I will lay a wreath on behalf of Wiltshire Freemasons, while Simon Leafield and Phil Still will do the same at Swindon and Salisbury. I trust that on the 11th of November you will take a moment to reflect on the ultimate sacrifice made by men and women of our armed forces, not only in the two world wars, but also in the many conflicts since. As you do, think of the words of the exhortation written by Robert Binion. They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. I will join you in repeating the response, we will remember them. At Provincial Grand Lodge, I appointed and invested Colin Cheshire as the province's first Grand Membership Officer. Many of you will know that Colin had already started to develop the role earlier in the year, and he has gathered together a formidable team to assist him in implementing plans to handle online inquiries promoted from the internet. I am aware that some lodges have indicated a reluctance to accept inquiries from the internet, even to the point of declining to process such inquiries. Such actions are both sad and unacceptable. In this edition of In Touch Online, Corsham Lodge demonstrates the benefits of welcoming both internet and lodge introductions. It isn't an accident that the lodge has 10 entered apprentices, to which I would add that every one of them is as keen as mustard and totally supportive of each other. The reason there are 10 new members is because the lodge embraced the policy of accepting social media inquiries, worked with the membership team, and nurtured the inquirer through a process which ultimately led them to becoming a candidate, then an initiate, and finally a lodge member. Also in this edition, Colin writes about the real importance of culture in Freemasonry. Perhaps as part of the planning process, the question should be asked, what is the culture within your lodge? Can it be described as kind, just and amiable? Or is it one where the new member feels a part as opposed to a part of the lodge? Attracting new members through the medium of social media is a UGLE policy. It's here to stay. The province is supporting it, and it follows that lodges should be processing inquiries from the membership team in exactly the same way as they would an inquiry initiated by a member of the lodge. I look forward to reading of the successes of every lodge as they welcome new members into their numbers, and continue to pass and raise brethren who have been waiting, in some cases, for over a year. Corsham Lodge's 10 entered apprentices became 8, as 2 of their number were passed to the second degree. However, the lodge is due to conduct more initiations in the very near future, which will bring the number of newbies back up to double figures. It really is quite amazing to witness a sea of white aprons in the lodge, and to be able to say with certainty that these brethren have proved themselves keen and capable young Freemasons. Lodge Secretary John Dean's son Oliver joined local stonemason Neil Gray in becoming the lodge's new fellow craft Freemasons. You can see in the online edition of In Touch Online just how pleased everyone was to recognise the milestone in their Masonic journey. For Neil, the wait has been 6 years, which he acknowledges is unusual, but in his typical self-effacing manner said, "It's been worth the wait. However, I'm hoping I won't have to wait as long for my raising ceremony." The Provincial Grand Secretary has issued the following guidance for Lodge Secretaries, which confirms that the province follows guidance given by the Government and United Grand Lodge concerning precautions against COVID-19. We have no wish to impose additional or arbitrary restrictions on Masonic halls, but it may be timely to remind brethren that they are not obliged to attend meetings if they feel uncomfortable or concerned. Brethren wishing to wear masks may do so. Please do not attend a meeting if you have any COVID symptoms. Following his appointment as Provincial Grand Membership Officer, Colin Cheshire spoke to the editor about his plans to implement the newly revised Members Pathway Programme, albeit with a distinctive Wiltshire flavour. This is an extract of the interview. Taking its lead from the UGLE, the Provincial Membership Team, in conjunction with the Communication Team, has adopted a policy of attracting men to Freemasonry as opposed to one of recruitment. You may well ask, what is the difference? In basic terms, we see attraction as being more about drawing people into asking about Freemasonry, its origins, what it is, why it exists, and what do Freemasons really do. Recruitment is considered more aggressive in its nature. Just think about the way the companies go about seeking and recruiting employees, developing recruiting strategies, producing dynamic advertisements, offering amazing remuneration packages and additional benefits. Attraction requires us to do some of these things, but above all, it is incumbent on us to offer a reason why a man would choose to become a Freemason, as opposed to a Rotarian or Lion. We must ask ourselves what Freemasonry stands for. What do we expect from our members, and what motivates them to come to Lodge and actively participate in the work of the Lodge and the province? What we stand for can really make a difference. It can be the distinguishing factor in a man's decision-making process. Culture is a huge part of any organisation and can make or break it. It's one of the many aspects that can attract, engage and secure membership. The focus has shifted from that of simply being a Freemason to seeking a sense of belonging, purpose and development. But we need to be aware that with this generation, it's all about authenticity, and they're very likely to spot if we're pretending to be something we're not. I think we would all agree that there is something organic about success in any aspect of an organisation. By organic, I mean there are certain fundamentals that have seeped deep into their cultures that cannot be engineered into existence. There are ways they think, and opportunities they enable as a result of core philosophies, purposes and passions that inform everything they do. Such organisations become magnets for new members, because people are attracted to who they are, why they exist and what they do. We want Wiltshire Freemasonry to be such an organisation. We want men to want to become Wiltshire Freemasons. We want them to want to belong. Although the words are far from modern, the meaning of the exhortation in the First Degree Long Closing is as relevant today as it has ever been. By a kind, just, amiable and virtuous deportment, you may prove to the world the happy and beneficial effects of our ancient and honourable institution. Organisations like this are irresistible. Their brand is well known because word of mouth has spread organically. People feel compelled to talk about them. They have built a reputation of such note that individuals who don't even belong to it are willing to evangelise for them. When non-Masons speak well of Freemasonry, we know that we have raised a superstructure perfect in its parts and honourable to the builder. Fiat Lux translates into Let There Be Light, which is a great name for one of Wiltshire's daylight lodges, which meets in the market town of Devizes. The lodge is only 17 years old, and largely consists of joining members. Prior to its latest meeting, the lodge had only two initiates, so you can imagine how thrilled the lodge was to be able to welcome not one, but two new members, both initiates, on the same day. The provincial church service was held at St Mary's Church, Carn, on Sunday the 24th of October. It was the final time that the Reverend Bob Kennaway would officiate, as he will be retiring before next year's service. Brother Reverend Dr John Railton preached the sermon, while Brother Michael Barrett led the prayers. There were readings from Provincial Grand Master Philip Bullock and the Most Excellent Grand Superintendent John Reed. Prior to the service, the Royal Arch hosted Sunday lunch, prepared by Andrew and Francis Evans at Carn Masonic Hall. Can I vote? It's a question often asked by new and younger brethren, especially from the few lodges who restrict access to what are sometimes referred to as general purposes committees or past masters meetings. The answer to the question comes in two parts. The first is to affirm the right of every brother, irrespective of seniority or experience, to vote on all propositions brought before the lodge. A lodge cannot have a bylaw which contradicts the Book of Constitutions, or which restricts a brother's right to a full participation in all matters concerning the lodge, other than in accordance with the provision of Rule 145. This caveat makes clear that unless a brother is in default in the payment of his subscription, and that for a specified time, he enjoys the untrammelled rights of every other brother in the lodge. The second is to confirm that a lodge, if authorised by its bylaws, may appoint a committee of its members for the purpose of considering and reporting upon proposals for membership of the lodge. The Lodge by resolution may specifically refer any other matter to such committee or other committee specially appointed in Open Lodge for consideration and report, or with power to act within such limits as the Lodge may define, but no committee can be invested with any general executive powers. Any committee may submit to the Lodge for consideration any matter which it may deem to be for the benefit of the Lodge. The important words here are consider and report. The role of the committee is to act in an advisory capacity as opposed to an executive one. The Book of Constitutions makes it quite clear that no committee can be invested with any general executive powers. You will recall that in the charge after initiation, the new made brother is reminded that he must demonstrate a ready acquiescence in all votes and resolutions passed by a majority of the brethren. This phrase alone should guide our thoughts to the fact that voting cannot be the sole preserve of the senior brethren. To imagine this to be the case would be to leave the decision-making to a minority, and not a majority of the membership. It would also send the wrong message to the new member, whether an initiate or a joining member, and probably raise a question in his mind, do I really belong? The Provincial Grand Master hopes that lodges will adopt an open-door policy to committee membership, by allowing every subscribing brother to play a full part in the activities of the Lodge. Which only leaves the need to explain the situation with regard to honorary members. While undoubtedly a huge honour, the granting of honorary membership, especially for a former subscribing member, does come with a sting in the tail. An honorary member has no vote in the affairs of the Lodge, and should be as cautious about volunteering advice as he would be if he were a visitor. It's always best to wait to be asked. It's not often you get the opportunity to hear a Prestonian lecturer for a second time. The traditional hosts for the Prestonian lecture, Methuen Lodge, has joined forces with Vaston Lodge and invited Worshipful Brother Dr. John Wade, the lecturer of 2009, to once again visit Wiltshire on Sunday the 5th of December at 7 p.m. This event will take place using Zoom, and the link is available from pcowiltshire@gmail.com. Dr. Wade will not be reprising his 2009 lecture, it was entitled Go and Do Thou Likewise, but will tell us what it means to be a Prestonian lecturer. Corsham Lodge decided their logo needed an upgrade, so Lodge Secretary John Dean researched the history of the design. With a little help from a friend and considerable patience, the Lodge has produced a vastly improved representation of the logo, which features elements of the Methuen family coat of arms. It's been a whole year since guide dog puppy Radnor, sponsored by Radnor Lodge, was born. What an amazing year it's been, and it's almost time for the next stage in the pup's exciting and life-changing journey. We are sure you will join us in wishing Radnor a very happy birthday, and we thank you for being part of this great story. What a grand gesture, a £1,000 donation from Lodge of Good Fellowship for the Wiltshire Masonic Charity Foundation. A beaming Simon Leafield, Deputy Provincial Grand Master, assured the Lodge it is gratefully received and will be faithfully applied. At the October meeting of the Lodge of Good Fellowship, Brother Craig Wall was installed as Master of the Lodge by his predecessor, before receiving the address to the Master by Assistant Provincial Grand Master Simon Leafield. The newly installed Master then appointed and invested his wardens, Senior Warden Brother Peter Mullingani and Junior Warden Brother Nick Bidmead. One of the lovely features of Wiltshire Freemasonry is the fact that at every installation ceremony, a member of the provincial executive, accompanied by a retinue of provincial officers, attends the meeting. It certainly adds lustre to a superb event. Thank you for listening.